Which free agent should the Buffalo Bills be targeting to help the offense? I'm offering nearly 50 names today on Locked On Bills.
You are Locked On Bills, your daily Buffalo Bills podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
What's up, Bills Mafia? It's Joe Marino from the Draft Network, and I'm your host of Locked On Bills. Happy Monday to you, and thank you for making Locked On Bills your first listen every day. And as a reminder to you, we are free and available on all platforms, including YouTube. Well, folks, I'm very excited to start our free agency conversations today on the podcast. We are going to focus on the players on the offensive side of the football that I would like to see the Bills consider in free agency. And folks, we are not far away from that. Next Monday, the legal tampering period opens for the NFL. We're going to see player movement starting 1 week from today. And so we're going to spend pretty much all of our time this week focusing on who the Bills should go after. Today, we're going to go offense. Tomorrow, we're going to go defense. Later in the week, I'm going to give you my mock offseason where I navigate through the entire thing, and it's the what would I do offseason. That includes creating the cap space, extensions, free agency, the draft, and then it ends with a 53-man roster projection. So that's going to be really fun. We're, of course, going to get to herd mentality and talk free agency all week long. And so the foundation for those conversations will be today and tomorrow when I really get into the players that interest me, the players that I think the Bills should be considering on offense and defense. So today is offense. We're going to talk every position and the players that I think should be targets for the Bills. So let's get into it. We'll start with the offensive line, and we'll start with offensive tackle. And so the first thing we'll do is very quickly identify what the need is, and then I'll get into the names. And like I mentioned in the open, got almost 50 names, I think like 46, 47 names to touch on today. So this isn't going to be like this massive breakdown of 50 names. I'm going to introduce them and talk about why they're appealing to me. So we'll start with offensive tackle, where the need, I think, is potentially twofold. You want meaningful competition for Spencer Brown as your right tackle, even if you envision him as your surefire starting right tackle. He needs to be pushed. And you also need a backup, right? David Questenberry was your swing tackle this past year, actually filled in like in multiple spots. But is he somebody that you want to upgrade? And then you're also mindful of Tommy Doyle as a developing young player coming off of an ACL tear that you'd like to see what you have there, right? Maybe he does win the job, but I don't know that you go into this season without a meaningful hedge there. And then I think you have to consider the possibility of getting better play than Spencer Brown. Now, I'm optimistic that Spencer Brown can develop into a good right tackle for the Buffalo Bills, but I'm not naive. I understand that his play to this point hasn't been good enough, and so you're counting on growth there. And so I'd want a nice hedge there. So here's the names. The big names at offensive tackle and free agency are Mike McGlinchey from the San Francisco 49ers, former first-round pick, a multi-year starter at right tackle for them. I think he's going to get some pretty nice money on the open market. The other one is Juwan Taylor from the Jacksonville Jaguars, who was a high second-round pick and has really been a starter for them since his rookie season. Now, he's been up and down, but he's extremely talented. I'll say this about Juwan Taylor. A lot of instability around him, whether it's been coaching, guard play, just all the stuff around him hasn't been consistent. So I'm not surprised that he's had some inconsistency. I think he's still a developing young player. That as a competition piece for Spencer Brown, as a potential swing tackle with some upside, he interests me. So those are your big ticket guys. Now, I'm not really predicting that the Bills go after those types of players. I would also include Caleb McGarry in this bucket of big ticket free agents. If the Bills really wanted to go in and get a guy that is an established starter, that's young, has some, you know, some years ahead of them, then Caleb McGarry from the Atlanta Falcons, another first round pick, extremely athletic. I think those are your big ticket players. So if the Bills really wanted to go in, Caleb McGarry from the Falcons, Mike McGlinchey from the 49ers, Juwan Taylor from the Jacksonville Jaguars. I also want to mention Andrew Wiley from the Kansas City Chiefs, who I think has filled in admirably at right tackle. He has been their other guy, right? They've had four good starters the last couple of years on that line, and then it was like Andrew Wiley at right tackle. Well, I think over the last 2 years, he's kind of just proven that he's a solid starting right tackle. And so he represents an intriguing piece, although I think the Chiefs are probably going to want him back. So I'm not sure he hits the market. That's going to be the reality with a lot of the players that we're going to talk about. You know, I'm looking at the available free agents as of Sunday, March 5th. And throughout the course of this week, players are going to get, you know, extended. And they're going to come off the board. And I think Andrew Wiley will probably be back with the Chiefs. Now, I do think that there's a couple of value plays here that interest me. Two players come to mind. First of all, Andre Dillard, another former first-round pick with the Philadelphia Eagles. Had some injuries early in his career, and then Jordan Mytala, I think that's how you say his last name, Jordan Mytala, the Australian, developed into an absolute stud at left tackle and, you know, really took the job from Andre Dillard, who really hasn't gotten a ton of opportunity to play. Some, right, and I think he's fared pretty well, but he hasn't really been given a true chance to be a guy. And I think there's some developmental appeal there that intrigues me. And so, whether that's at tackle or even for him as a guard, right? He got a little bit of run at guard with some of his actual playing time. That interests me, right? There's some upward mobility there that intrigues me. So as a potential, not only challenger for Spencer Brown, guy that you look at as a swing tackle, but also, hey, maybe you got a guard here that could start. That interests me quite a bit. The other player that's gotten some playing time, really toolsy and has developed that I think could be a value play is Trey Pipkins with the Los Angeles Chargers. Came out of Sioux Falls, small school kid, super athletic. Got some playing time, not necessarily because they wanted him to, but they've had a lot of injuries, and so he's gotten a chance to play, and he's held his own. And I think there's some upward mobility and developmental appeal there as well. So consider those two like the value upside swings, guys that haven't necessarily been given a full opportunity to showcase himself, have physical traits, have performed well in doses, and you feel like there's a lot more in them that you can unlock. So my value plays, Trey Pipkins, Andre Dillard, your big tickets, Mike McGlinchey, Caleb McGarry, and then Juwan Taylor / Andrew Wiley are more maybes, right? So that's how I see this offensive tackle situation. Now let's go to the interior offensive line where the Bills need a starting guard. They need a starter opposite of Ryan Bates. Roger Saffold, his contract's expired. He was below average at best last year. You feel like this is your best chance to upgrade your offensive line, replacing Roger Saffold. And I think it's one of the most meaningful decisions that Brandon Bean's going to make this offseason. Getting that guard spot opposite of Bates sorted out. And the good news is there's a lot of names here. Again, the need a starter. And to me, you got three big ticket guys, guys that have been tenured starters and performed well for a number of seasons. Isaac Seumalo with the Philadelphia Eagles, Dalton Risner with the Denver Broncos, and Ben Powers with the Baltimore Ravens. Now I put them in that order in terms of, okay, if you're going to go $10+ million a season for a guard, those are the names that you're going to be considering. Seumalo, obviously the cream of the crop. Dalton Risner has probably been the guy that's shown the most high-level play of the three, but he's had some injuries. And then Ben Powers, who I think is an adequate starter, right? I don't think he's a super dominant player. I think people like his name more than they would like the way he actually plays. Better pass blocker than he's been run blocker. I'm not sure that athletically he's everything the Bills want, but I know that that's a name that I've seen quite a bit. And look, I would love to have a sufficient starting caliber player of opposite of Ryan Bates that represents an upgrade to what Roger Saffold provided this team last year. Now, let's get into some of the players that I think are more realistic for the Bills and the type of market I think they'll be looking to get into when it comes to guard play. And I'll start with David Edwards. And I think there's probably a good chance that David Edwards predictively will be a Bill. I mean, 4 years with the Rams, I think started for most of that, came up under Aaron Kromer, who is, of course, the Bills line coach now, was the Rams line coach. There's some familiarity there. Rams are pretty tight on resources. You could see that being a very natural opportunity and, you know, has been a starter at guard. I think that's a very seamless option, in my opinion. And in some ways, if you made me predict one player the Bills sign, I'd probably tell you it's David Edwards. Now, other names that I think are kind of more in this value bucket, and David Edwards, don't get me wrong, I don't think he's a cheap player. He's probably a $5, $6, $7 million a year player. But those other guys that I mentioned are probably north of 10, right? Probably more 12, 13 per season. A player that really intrigues me, I'd have no idea what the Buffalo Bills think of this player, but if I were calling the shots, I'd be really interested in Nate Davis from the Tennessee Titans, who's been a pretty much a four-year starter for them at right guard, coming out of Charlotte. Really good player at Charlotte. Physical, really tenacious type guy, like gets after people. There's a mean streak there that you love about the way he plays, good in space. And I think he's really held his own, which is surprising when you consider, like, the right tackle situation next to him has been just highly inconsistent. A different primary starter every year for him during his time at Tennessee. And I think they've had three different play callers, I'm pretty sure, during that span as well. LaFleur, Smith, and who they currently have, well, they fired him, Todd Downing. So there's been a lot of moving pieces with that offense. I think he's shown a lot of positive play that intrigues me, that I think he can go elsewhere and be a good starter. Two other names that I'll mention here, Daniel Brunskill from the San Francisco 49ers has just been a cerebral starter for a number of seasons. I anticipate a team like Miami being interested in him, you know, given the connections with San Francisco, but you know, I think he could be a sufficient starter and maybe not a high impact guy, but a guy that's been part of some really good rushing offenses, obviously, in San Francisco. And then if you really want to take a swing on a guy, you think about Will Hernandez, came up with the Giants, started hot, sizzled really quickly, goes to the Cardinals and up and down. Talented guy, but he's never been super consistent. Maybe you feel like you can unlock that. Certainly a player that has some interest to me. So to recap, guard, Isaac Siamalu, Ben Power, Dalton Risner, those are your big ticket guys. I think David Edwards and Nate Davis is kind of the type of names I expect the Bills to be interested in. David Edwards, obviously the familiarity there matters a ton. And then Brunskill and Hernandez as guys with starting experience that have been up and down, but have been part of some really good stuff so far in their NFL career. So those are the names on the offensive line that move the needle for me as we consider who the Bills could target next week. Got a whole lot more to tell you about coming up in just a moment, wide receivers and running backs. But first, I need to tell you about Built Bar, the best tasting protein bars on the planet. Here's what I love about Built Bars. They're healthy and they're delicious, right? You get this beautiful blend of super healthy and super good. Now, why are they good? First of all, covered in 100% real chocolate, and they have so many amazing flavors. I mean, I'm ordering these things all the time. I just got the lemon dip cheesecake puffs. I've been really enjoying those. They just put out the cookie dough puffs, which are delicious. We love the raspberry cheesecake. They're so good. Churro puffs, coconut almond puffs. They're so good, and they're healthy for you. That's the beautiful part. The macros on these things are off the charts. Only 130 calories, 4 grams of sugar, and a whopping 17 grams of protein. And they taste so good. And folks, I've been telling you for years, go to built.com and order yourself a box. Well, you can still do that, but you can also pick up a box off the shelf at your local Walmart or Sam's Club. So built.com, Walmart, Sam's Club, check them out. It's the best tasting protein bar on the planet. All right, let's get into some wide receivers. I know this is another big position, right? A lot of people are thinking about how the Bills can get better at wide receiver. I think the need here, more than anything, is a slot player. I think you need a legitimate slot presence for Josh Allen. And I think that takes care of the concerns with the skill set deficiencies of a Gabe Davis. So wide receiver 2 is interesting, and I think the Bills need to address that because I don't know if they're going to be able to bring back Gabe Davis after this coming season. But I think the most meaningful thing that the Bills can do at wide receiver is get a slot player that can really be that guy that can read coverage, get open, keep Josh on schedule. It's been such an important part of his ascension as a quarterback as that slot player, and the Bills just didn't give it to him this year. Now, I think they wanted to, and Jamison Crowder, guy fractured his ankle after a couple of games, after missing a bunch of time in training camp. You know, it just was didn't come together, and obviously Isaiah McKenzie's just not going to be that player. So the names that really intrigue me here, I think the name that really intrigues me is Robert Woods, recently released by the Tennessee Titans. I think in every imaginable way, he's the route runner. He's the mental processor. He makes the sight adjustments. He's got the consistent hands that I'm looking for in a slot player. And obviously, he's not a long-term answer, and that's okay to me. I'll take 2 years of what I think Robert Woods can be, and that intrigues me a lot, and I don't think it's going to cost you a ton. So Robert Woods is kind of that name right now for me that really moves the needle as kind of that perfect slot player. And I'm pretty sure that he would have overlap with Aaron Kromer in LA. And so that's another little nugget there to be mindful of. Other slot players that I think can come in and do it: Jarvis Landry, free agent, of course, Dolphins to Browns to Saints last year. Veteran, know-how, get open, catch the football, physical after the catch. He has experience with the Bills wide receivers coach, Adam Henry, which makes him intriguing as well, not just with the Browns, but dating back to LSU as well. So that's another player with familiarity that, to me, would make sense in that slot role. Now, I'll also mention Cole Beasley, right? If he can come back and, you know, after a regular offseason, be Cole Beasley, that intrigues me a lot. Jamison Crowder, if the guy signed for like 1 year, $1.7 million last year, after another year of being hurt all season, you feel like it can't be expensive to bring him back. So I think he'd be worth the flyer. Again, I don't know that I'm going into a season counting on Jamison Crowder. I think the injuries have just been too significant over the years. But as a low-level investment, I'd be interested in that as a hedge. There's two guys that bring speed that I don't know. I don't know if they're the zone coverage beaters that I'm looking for, but I like the speed dynamic. Mecole Hardman with the Chiefs. Obviously had some production with Patrick Mahomes. Can win vertically with his speed. I mean, there's some inconsistency with his play, but as a speed guy that has some slot production, he's appealing. And I'd say the same thing about Paris Campbell. He's been on the Colts. He's a second-round pick. Was healthy this year and was productive, but, I mean, literally just injury after injury his first three seasons. But we finally got a chance to see why they picked him in the second round. The production showed up this year, and a tough year for the Colts, right? Quarterback play, the coaching, everything was a disaster, and he was finally able to showcase himself. So if it's not too expensive, that would intrigue me as a weapon to add to the mix here. Again, I don't look at Hardman or Campbell as volume slot receivers for this team. But as a player that can give you depth, maybe in both spots, I can get behind it. Now, the big names with the wide receiver market are Juju Smith-Schuster and Jakobi Meyers. Both of those players I anticipate signing for north of $15 million a season. And for those reasons, I don't really see the Bills being in on them. But we know what both of those players would be good slot players. Like, I would like them. However, I just don't know if they're going to be in the price range for what the Bills are going to be able to pay a slot receiver. But it's worth mentioning Juju and Jakobi Meyers. Juju, of course, with the Chiefs. Jakobi Meyers, really solid player with the New England Patriots. There's some rumblings out there that he can get north of $18 million a season. One last player to mention is DJ Chark. Some of the rumblings out there that he's about a $10 to $12 million a year receiver. I don't know if the Bills would want to pay that. I like what he would give this team vertically, give you a size component, but I think in some ways you kind of already have that player in Gabe Davis. He to me, he's redundant. So I'd probably hold off on a DJ Chark and lean more into some of the other skill sets that I already talked about. So I guess for wide receiver, the name for me is Robert Woods. Jarvis Landry's intriguing. You think about the Cole Beasley, Jamison Crowder duo. You want speed. Hardman and Campbell are interesting. And then if you really want to go in, you can pay significant funds for Juju and Jakobi Meyers. Let's get to running back. To me, the need here is you want a complementary physical runner. And I'm excited about James Cook. And I think you guys can tell through talking about James Cook during the season and how fond I've been of his growth. But he's still a player that's never been a lead back in the NFL. And I think he can be, but I think he's a player that you're always going to have a complementary physical runner to go with him. And I think the Bills need to find this player. Now, the name for me at running back that really intrigues me, that I think would be absolutely perfect in every way for the Buffalo Bills to be a downhill physical back, short yardage, pass protection. He's so good. It's Jamal Williams. Jamal Williams from the Detroit Lions. This is everything that I would want the Bills to sign in this complimentary back. Like I said, physical, pass pro, but he's also this big-time leader, right? Like a perfect locker room guy, process guy through and through, loves football. To me, he's exactly what the Bills need as a complimentary back to James Cook. He's probably like a $4 to $5 million a year back. Can you get him for 2 years, $9 million, something like that? I wouldn't mind it, folks. I wouldn't mind it. I think he would take the short yardage stuff off of Josh Allen. The pass pro would be so good. And just his veteran presence, his leadership has been something that, whether it's been in college, Green Bay, Detroit, it's off the charts. He's a little bit of an older back, but on a couple-year deal, I think he just makes a lot of sense. Now, other players like him, again, I'm really leaning into the physical downhill players. Deontay Foreman, who I'm very fond of, was with the Carolina Panthers this past year. Titans was part of like the relief package for when Derrick Henry got hurt 2 years ago, came in and nobody, I mean, the offense was just as good without Derrick Henry. This guy came in and was kind of the focal point of their backfield. Was a nice player coming out of Texas, had an Achilles injury early in his career that really set him back for a number of seasons. But between Tennessee in 2021 and Carolina last year, I love Deonta Foreman. Perfect type of complimentary back that I'm looking for. I'll mention Samaje Perine, Cincinnati Bengals, RB2, physical downhill back. He can catch football a little bit. He blocks, you know, veteran, played a lot of meaningful games, right, with the Bengals over the last couple of years. He intrigues me a lot. So those are kind of my, if you looked at my notes right now, they're in bold, right? Those are my most intriguing names that I think provide the skill set, the reasonable type contract, and just like the overall fit that I think the Bills need. Some other names that I'll mention quickly here. Jeff Wilson, former 49er, got traded to the Dolphins last year, physical downhill back. Damian Harris, you guys know him from the New England Patriots. And one thing that we should always be mindful of in predictively considering players that the Bills could go after is Brandon Bean tends to like to go after some guys that have had some success against his teams. Well, Damian Harris, we all know that, right? That's happened, right? We've seen him rip off some 60-yarders against the Bills. But for the most part, a good physical downhill runner, very consistent, catches it. He's good in pass pro. And just a guy that does his job, right? Not to, like, lean too far into the Patriots stuff. But, like, there's just a consistency there that I appreciate with a Damian Harris. I think he'd be a great complimentary back. Some other names here that I don't necessarily think the Bills will go after, but I just want to mention them. David Montgomery with the Bears. Again, he'd probably be a little bit more expensive, but in terms of the skill set, he's probably the extreme version of that for a younger player that's probably more expensive. But if they really wanted that, they could go after him. Miles Sanders with the Philadelphia Eagles. He's not necessarily a physical back, but he's a speed guy, complimentary type player. And Miles Sanders is a guy that, as we talked about a couple weeks ago on the show, he had that big game against Buffalo, right? I think he had like 6 touches over 100 yards and a touchdown. What was that, 2019, I think they played him, 2020, something like that. He would make some sense in terms of that same thing I said about Damian Harris and that Bean likes to kind of go after some guys that have torched him in the past. I want to mention Leonard Fournette. He had that big touchdown reception against the Bills in overtime against the Bucks, which stands out to me, but I think Leonard Fournette has been part of some very disappointing rushing offenses with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers over the last couple of years. Very inconsistent hands, bad vision, doesn't always run to his size. Like, he doesn't move the needle for me at all. I'd be very disappointed if the Bills went after Leonard Fournette. But sometimes I like to mention players that I get questions about. So even if I'm not interested, I want to bring up some of those bigger names like a Leonard Fournette here. And then the last name I'll mention is Devin Singletary. Certainly the Bills know him. We've talked about how the timing is just bad for him, right? Good free agent class of running backs. So, I mean, Josh Jacobs, Saquon Barkley, we didn't even mention them. Obviously, I don't really think the Bills will go after those types of players, but Tony Pollard's in this mix, Kareem Hunt, Alexander Mattison, Rashad Penny. There's some names here, not to mention a really good group of running backs coming through the draft. I just don't think it's going to be a great timing for Devin Singletary. And so if you wanted to bring him back, I don't know that he's going to be as expensive as he could be if he were in a weaker crop of free agency and draft running backs. So can you bring him back for 1 year, $3 million, and get another year out of Devin Singletary and then reassess what things could look like moving forward? So at running back, the gold star names for me, Jamal Williams, Deonta Foreman, Samaje Perine. I think Jeff Wilson and Damian Harris really fit the type of player the Bills will be looking for. And then David Montgomery, Miles Sanders, Leonard Fournette, Devin Singletary as names to consider. So that's running back and wide receiver. The Bills, look, we got to talk about tight ends and quarterbacks. The Bills could have an interesting plan at tight end. We'll talk about that in just a moment. And of course, the backup quarterback options right after a quick break. Let's talk tight ends. And this is interesting because there's been some more rumblings, like I feel like we've done the last couple off seasons, about the Bills running more 12 personnel, which means two tight end sets. And I went into this pretty heavily last year, right? I was reading the tea leaves. The Bills promoted Ken Dorsey, hired Mike Shula as an offensive assistant. And one of my big talking points last year on this podcast before the season was when those guys were together in Carolina, that Greg Olsen and Jeremy Shockey duo was really good at tight end. And I think they're going to want to replicate that. And then they signed O.J. Howard, and I'm like, okay, here it is. Knox and Howard's going to be there. Olsen and Shockey and two tight ends is going to be a thing. Well, it wasn't. The Bills cut O.J. Howard, and then they didn't run two tight ends very much at all. Then, you know, Bean went on Eric Wood's podcast and talked about two tight end stuff and Olsen and Shockey. When Bean was asked about receivers at the combine, he said, well, we really need weapons, right? And I talked about how that could be a tight end, that could be a running back, right? Didn't have to just be a receiver. They want players that can change the math and really dictate personnel groupings from the opponent. Look, I think there's a chance they could be really interested in doing this. I'm not going to get suckered into it again, I'll tell you that, but I think there's a chance. So I want to look at this through the lens of, okay, if they really just want to get a complimentary tight end to challenge Quentin Morris, just be a veteran tight end, 2/3 that can block, you know, baseline stuff. I got some of those guys. And then I do have one big ticket player that I think if they really want to go 12 personnel and wanted to pay for it, which I don't think they do, I think they would probably more inclined to draft a tight end, but I'll at least mention one. So here's the names. Chris Manhertz went to Canisius College, was on the Bills originally, went to the Panthers. The Jaguars, he's become a very, very good blocking tight end in the NFL. And I think the Bills would like that skill set and then can do baseline receiver stuff. Not an impact receiver at all, but don't get it wrong, but they want that blocking tight end. Chris Manhertz can do it. Same thing with Trayvon Wesco, former Chicago Bear, played his college ball at West Virginia, 6'3", 260. He can move bodies at the line of scrimmage and really physical kind of dump down option as a receiver. Max Williams, was he day two pick of the Cardinals? Came out of Minnesota. Again, not a lot of juice as a receiver, but blocking, baseline receiving skills. He gives you something. He's probably the most interesting receiver of anybody that I mentioned so far. Robert Tonyan from the Green Bay Packers. He's interesting. Had a big touchdown season a couple years ago. I think he had like 12. I don't think that's the norm for him. I think he's more of a versatile move around tight end, not a ton of athleticism, but can block and catch it a little bit as a veteran reserve. I mean, right now the Bills are one snap away from Quentin Morris being your starting tight end, right? Like these are the types of players. I know they don't sound too exciting, but these are the kind of guys you need. And then I'll give you a couple of interesting guys here. Drew Sample. Was a high pick of the Cincinnati Bengals 4 years ago. I think he was picked in the 40s. And he was behind CJ Uzoma, behind Hayden Hurst. He hasn't really had a ton of opportunities to really showcase himself. He did have a 40-catch season in year two and kind of faded back out when Uzoma got healthy and really took command of that tight end room. But he's got some talent. He's can block and run. I think as a kind of those value tight ends or a value free agent where, you know, they got some ability, haven't really showcased everything that it can do. You feel like you can unlock some things in your building. Drew Sample fits that description. Now, the wild card that I want to bring up here is the guy, like, look, if you really wanted to go 12 personnel, you wanted a multifaceted player that can play in line, move around, catch it, block, all that stuff. Let me introduce the name Foster Moreau from the Las Vegas Raiders. Now, SpotRack says he's probably a $10 million a year tight end. And maybe you don't want to have $24 million a year tied up in your two tight ends, especially when you haven't utilized the one that you have to the fullest extent that you can. But if you really want to make sure that 12 personnel is a big part of what you do and you want to pay for it, Foster Moreau is at least a name worth mentioning. So again, Chris Manhertz, Trayvon Wesco, Max Williams, Robert Tonyan, Drew Sample, Foster Moreau as the tight end options. Let's get to quarterback here where the need, you need a quarterback too. Case Keenum, your QB2 is an expiring contract. I think the challenge here is that you're looking for a minimal investment, but you're also wanting to secure a reasonable player to give you a chance if Josh Allen has to miss some time. And then you also have to find a player that understands they have to be comfortable knowing that they aren't competing to start and they're willing to accept a backup role and their only path to playing is Josh Allen getting hurt. And that probably takes you out of the market for a lot of players. Like, there's too much criteria here that makes it pretty unattractive for a lot of players, I would guess, right? They don't have a lot of money to give you. They don't have a starting opportunity to give you a chance to compete for. And you got to hope 17 gets hurt for you to play. Now, there's probably some guys that are like, okay, sign me up for that. Some guys probably not. If you want to get a top shelf backup quarterback, the name to me is Jacoby Brissett. And I think Jacoby Brissett fits that criteria of played well against the Bills. Did against that Cleveland game, right? This past year as a starter. Feels like Jacoby Brissett always gets a chance to play a little bit. Now, I could see him going to a team that needs a bridge quarterback, and I don't know that predictively he makes a ton of sense for the Bills. He's probably a $6, $7, $8 million a year backup. But again, if we want to give a top-shelf option, I should at least mention him. So then I have the maybe. So with quarterback, I have the top shelf, the maybes, and then the realistic targets. The maybes, I'll give them to you all together. Carson Wentz, Sam Darnold, Gardner Minshew. Carson Wentz, obviously, I mean, three horrible seasons in a row with the Eagles, then the Colts, then Washington. As a backup quarterback to Josh Allen, like, maybe he's the type of guy that sees the need to have a year like what he could get in Buffalo as a QB2. No, look, you're laying low. You can do the Mitch Trubisky thing, right? Like, that might not be a bad idea for him. I think probably for Carson Wentz, the best thing he can do is not play, look good in preseason, and hold a clipboard and talk to Josh Allen. As a backup quarterback, he at least interests me. Now, if I'm some team out there, if I'm a fan of the, good Lord, Carolina Panthers, I would not be interested in Carson Wentz being signed to compete for a starting job. But as a backup, different story. That interests me. Sam Darnold, obviously good friends with Josh Allen, could be looking for that, you know, that rehab year, that image rehab type year that we saw with Mitch Trubisky. Again, Sam Darnold could be the type of quarterback, though, that one of these teams that plans on drafting one pairs with him, right, to be the bridge. So if Sam wants to embrace that type of opportunity, he can come to Buffalo probably and do it. I'm sure Josh Allen would love it. They're good friends. Gardner Minshew, also a guy that has had some, you know, most recently with the Eagles, came up originally with the Jaguars. He's had some good moments. I think he's I don't think he's a guy you ever want to be a starter for you, but could he be a gamer off the bench that you feel like you have a chance with if he comes in? Maybe. Now, here's the realistic targets. And I think probably this next player, maybe if you made me predict one that the Bills sign, I might go with this guy, and that's Mason Rudolph. I know that there was a plan for the Bills. If they didn't, like, in that year that Josh Allen came out in 2018, there was a path where they were going to pick Tremaine Edmonds with pick 12. Like, if they couldn't get a trade up to get Josh Allen, that they would have picked Tremaine Edmonds at 12 and then picked Mason Rudolph like at pick 22, 23, whatever that other pick was that they had. Like, I'm pretty sure that was on the table as one of the options for Brandon Bean. He's hinted at as much during his press conferences. And you know me, I'm digging into every word the man says. So I think Mason Rudolph could very realistically be the Bills' backup quarterback. Kyle Allen, Another friend of Josh Allen, spent a lot of time together training and living near each other in the off seasons. I think he makes sense. Case Keenum, right? You've had a year with him. You know he's probably going to come in for that 1 year, $2 million deal, something like that. If you feel comfortable being one snap away from him after having him for a season, feels like he would definitely embrace that type of role. Taylor Heinicke, who I think he probably should have been in the top shelf bucket with Jacoby Brissett, is a guy that has come in, played tough, won some games that maybe you didn't think he would, has some gamer mentality to him. He may have had some time with some of the Bills coaching staff when he was in Carolina. I think predictively that's not predictively. I think if I were to be able to research that right now, that would probably be true. I think he could be a really coveted backup. So we'll see. I don't know if the Bills will be able to be in that type of market. And then Josh Dobbs. I think Josh Dobbs, you know, I don't know that he's got a ton of great opportunity to play in the NFL, but he can run. He's smart, and I would appreciate his skill set behind Josh Allen. I know the Bills have typically went for backup quarterbacks that are very much like modest physical gifts, like on-schedule type guys, or I would want a guy that can move around and create some chaos and like maybe extend a play and hit a throw or extend a play and hit a run, something like that. Josh Dobbs fits that, and I think that he could be intriguing in this offense, but I think you're probably looking at Mason Rudolph, Case Keenum, Kyle Allen type players. And then if a Sam Darnold or a Carson Wentz were willing to do like a rehab year, that could be your prime candidates for that type of thing. But plenty of names to consider. And look, I mean, I just scratched the surface. What I did is I went through these lists of free agents, researched them, and I kind of boiled it down to the ones that were most interesting to me. And so this is just scratching the surface. There's a chance the Bills will sign somebody that we didn't talk about today on offense. But you know, of course, when they do that, we'll cover them in depth. But you know, as I have spent a lot of time looking through the coming free agents, these are the names that really pop for me. So we'll do defense tomorrow, and then we'll get to the mock offseason where you can really see exactly who I want the Bills to get. But these are really fun introductory conversations, and you know, hopefully some of this intrigued you. I'd love to hear from you. Leave me a comment if you're watching on YouTube. Tell me the players that you'd like to see the Bills go after on the offensive side of the football in free agency. All right, folks, that's going to do it for us here today on the podcast. As always, I kindly ask that you share, subscribe, rate, and review the show. Have a great rest of your day. Go Bills, and I look forward to catching up with you again tomorrow.